Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. It's March Madness. Well, it's not March Madness, but it is Madness. The market is March Madness, and of course, our fearless leader is March Madness, and everything is going bonkers and bananas, and yet the markets just feel like they want to go to sleep. It is interesting when you look at them and you go, this should be happening, and it's not really happening. And it's been really, other than the gargantuan, well, you know, it's not even gargantuan, a percent and a half, you know, really? Anyways, on Wednesday, but the blow-off that we would call, and I would actually call that a blow-off top. Now, again, that does not mean that we're going to go all the way back. What that means to me is that it's going to go lower from here, and then we'll see if there's going to be another bounce here. You know, I do not expect a straight down move in the market. That is one thing I will say. Of course, I never expect a straight up or a straight down. And I think when you get straight up or straight down, those give you opportunities to kind of, you know, play against that position. But we've got a lot of things, you know, that are kind of, you know, unwinding here. You've got, you know, a lot of little nicks and bruises in the administration right now. And, you know, I don't know if they'll have an effect on the market or not, but I think one of the things you look at is, you know, obviously our man, President Trump, was tweeting wildly over the weekend, and the issues with Jeff Sessions and the issues all over the place. Does it create any tension? You know, when you look at the markets, they're basically priced for perfection. And, you know, again, nothing is obviously ever perfect. But when we look at it, we see the price for perfection. And I don't know that they can continue to, you know, to hold up at those dramatic levels. Now, again, I'm not saying they won't. I'm just saying that I would be much more comfortable if I were going to be in the market. I'd be much more comfortable being on the short side of the market, because I think when you look at it from that perspective, I think the value in this market is to be on the short side. I think the value proposition comes that there's going to be a much bigger chance to make more from selling. Now, you know, if you're an investor, I would certainly not tell you to get out of your investments. Certainly, if you're hedged, you can continue to buy markets. But if you're a trader and you're looking to get, you know, to benefit from both sides of the market, which is how you make more money, you know, if you only trade to the long side or the upside, you know, yes, it's great long term, but you miss part of the opportunity. Now, one of the things I do like to make clear to everybody is, you know, I don't expect you, A, to sell your long-term holdings, which we talked about last week. We did a special on it. You know, obviously, I'd like to be hedged, but when you're trading, you know, trading is a short-term game. Now, short-term is relative. It could be, you know, from a couple of minutes to, you know, swing trading a couple of weeks. But when you're, you know, you want to try to take advantage of the short-term while not affecting your long-term. You know, banks are notorious, you know, big commercials are notorious for trading like that. They don't typically sell their core long position, but they do get short in the near term. And basically what they're looking for is obviously to try to benefit off the short side of the market, maybe even benefit more than their stocks they own go down. But at worst, they're taking the money out while still holding on to their position. And that's one of the things you like to listen and learn about, is how to benefit when markets start to move adversely so that you can benefit there, but again, without destroying your long-term portfolio. You know, it's an interesting game. It's very tricky, but that's something that you need to learn. You know, if you want to be a little bit more active, you don't want to move out of your current positions. You want to just add something to something that you know is going to be
short term. You know, we talked about that on the webinar. You know, don't confuse your investments and your trades. So I don't want you to try to figure out, well, this is the top, I got to move to safer, risk off. I want you to figure out, hey, you know, it looks like we got a little shot here to make my short side. Let me open up a short position while keeping my long position intact. And I think that is something that is more to the liking. And I think you'll be happier in the long run because it's very mentally challenging to, you know, try to roll out and figure out what to get rid of. And then you sell something and the next thing you know, it goes up 10 bucks and you go, well, why wasn't I still in? And so I'm not a big fan of trying to go risk on, risk off. And the crap you hear from TV guys all the time, you know, Wall Street, because I think that's a bunch of BS. I think that's totally the worst way to possibly trade, especially if you're talking about your long-term portfolio. If you're talking about your short-term, yeah, that's fine. But your long term, you don't want to play with that, because if we could actually tell you when the exact times were for risk on, risk off, then we wouldn't have an issue, right? And that, again, I expect the markets to start to sell off a little bit. I expect to see some pressure starting to build here. But again, we've seen this before, and it doesn't mean it's going to be today, tomorrow, the next day. What it means is that the warning signs are clear that there's some issue. But again, there's not a way to put it into, well, it's going to happen now. I mean, there's guys who will call that and say it's now, but I'm, you know, I don't do that because I don't know. I just like to prep for it. So if I were going to play the probability scale, I would be playing more to the short side from here in my short-term account than I would from the long side. Now, it doesn't mean I wouldn't buy anything. I mean, you know, if I were looking, you know, just at random here, you know, I'd be selling Amazon short for a trade. Not that I don't like the company, but for a trade. I'd be buying NVIDIA for a trade. But I think that in the longer term, NVIDIA is going to probably go much lower. But I think it will get a bounce here. And again, we don't look at it for the long term. I think that's what you're seeing in a lot of markets around the globe. You know, we're seeing some tricky areas. I mean, I think if you look in the agricultural space, you think that, you know, corn is probably a little pricey here. And I think it's going higher later. But I think that initially here, it's probably going to bounce to the downside, come down to the downside. And that's the things that we look at, you know, as we look at, you know, again, crude's been one of the things we talk about. It's been in this miserable, tight consolidation range forever. And of course, it's going to break out one way or the other. And it does look like it wants to break to the downside. It should break to the downside, but there is no guarantee. And I think gold has shown some just unbelievable resilience at that 1225 level. It keeps bouncing up from 1225. And no matter what's going on, it looks like it's going to go. And then, of course, you know, the markets themselves did not move at all on Friday when basically Janet Yellen came out and said, we're going to raise rates. So, you know, that was the first time that we really haven't seen a lot of movement off of that. And I think that is something that you look at as well. You know, again, there's a lot of little signs out there. There's a lot of little things saying of what the future looks like. And I think that that's how you kind of look at it from a short-termer's view. And you look at your long-term in a very different way. I mean, again, long-term, higher interest rates are healthier anyways. So there's a lot of good things to look at. But the biggest thing here is you still want to be extremely cautious and patient, because the markets themselves have not given you enough action to make it worth your while to get too aggressive. That's one of the things that too many people make too many mistakes, that they get too aggressive too early, and then they're not around to celebrate that they were right and their success. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, you know, Liberty Talk, the only station you need. Gets you the download of The Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, there'll probably be more Sporting Edges with the tourney coming up. And then, of course, Bubba's Bottom Line can be found at BubbaTrading.com. Go check it out. You can see me ready to rock and roll and rip. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here right after the break. Bubba. Yeah.
All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in A.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the Jane King Hour. Well, at least the Jane King segment. And Jane King, welcome. Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. top-notch reporter, business expert, farmer, everything. You got it all. What's up, Jane?
Well, just, you know, it's 70 degrees in New York one day, and it's 30 the next. So welcome to March in New York City. I'm sure you got it too in Chicago.
Well, yeah, it was 75 in Chicago, and now it's 10. So, yes, I do have it. And of course, we have that little chilly little feeling from the left as well as they continue to try to find things to make things go away. And I think it's kind of interesting. But I guess the first thing really is, Jane, what do you think about the speech on Tuesday night?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I didn't feel so great on Tuesday night. I had it on, but I was kind of like seeing shadowy figures because I was a little bit out of it. But I did watch most of it the next day, and I thought it was great. I mean, everybody seemed to really like it. I think people are just getting tired of some of the protests from the left. I think it's kind of, a lot of Americans think it's time to move on, unless, you know, you're really politically left and they're okay with this. But like the white suits and the non-clapping and the people don't show up. And, you know, I just think it's getting a little ridiculous. Like, I feel like if you want to make a difference, you got to have a seat at the table. You got to go to this stuff. But, you know, I don't think like Ruth Bader Ginsburg even went to the speech. So, you know, that was to me just the most disappointing thing. So everybody just starts to need coming together now and for the best of the country. It's getting a little old.
And I agree with you 100% there. So Jane, you know, you've been around for a while. You've done it all. And, you know, I mentioned in the intro, but, you know, so on Wednesday, we had this obviously big rally, 300 points. And of course, you know, it's exciting. But, you know, 300 points on a 20,000 point index, it's a percent and a half, which is a nice move. But in your mind, you know, from seeing this and watching markets for, you know, what, about almost 20 years now? Is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, you've been through it with the family and the farming business. You've been through it in the for mm-hmm. Bloomberg. So are we getting a little bit ahead of ourselves? And I'm not saying the market's going to go down, but what I'm saying is, are we making over expectations, trying to get too excited here for things that may happen soon? Or do you think everything is in line the way it should be?
Well, maybe a little, but I don't think it's ridiculous. Like, I feel like really, since 2000, I don't feel like we have had a strong economy. I mean, there's been things here and there, and, you know, the Fed, of course, has kept interest rates low, and we had the bond purchasing program, and, you know, but there's been all that. We haven't had a naturally organic, growing, vibrant economy, I don't think, since the 90s. And I think a lot of people sense that that could happen again, and they're trying to get back in the market. I heard an interesting statistic this week, Todd. Only 50% of Americans have money in stocks. And, you know, that was the day that, you know, the market was up 300 points. And, of course, it's been up 13% or more since the election. So and we might be seeing some more buying coming in from just people who haven't been in the market, who feel like they've missed out on this. Of course, there's a lot of people who have money to invest. There's high debt. You know, people who have wages haven't gone up. You know, there's all this stuff going on. But I think we may, until we see more Americans in it, I think it's better for them to know.
All right. I mean, look, I don't say that it can happen, and I'm certainly not against it. But I do think, I mean, just my view is, and again, I'm just looking for a normal correction. You know, I'm not one of those doom and gloomers, but I just think that we've, you know, kind of built up these expectations. And I think valuations are a little bit steep now, especially when you do consider that a lot of this was built on, as you stated, the cheap money. And if interest rates are going to go higher, that money's going to be a little bit more expensive because some of those, you know, they have rates that will adjust a little bit, you know, floating rates. So, you know, hey, look, I hope that everything works out to be perfect. I mean, obviously, we'd love to get these jobs back in. And, you know, when you look at some of the plans and everybody says, well, we can't do it. We can't do it. Well, why can't we get jobs back here? I mean, don't you think there would be people out there that would work for less money, but I mean, a reasonable wage? I mean, couldn't we somehow compete with China in a way? I mean, you know, I think what happened is the unions got so big and people made so much money and the benefit package killed these companies. But now you're really starting from scratch. Don't you think we can somewhere get in a neighborhood and at least make it reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, I know people who have, you know, taken jobs with less money for various reasons. I mean, you know, family time, health care, you know, they hated what they were doing. So I do think it's possible. I think, you know, there's more to just the job than money. I mean, there's, you know, intellectual challenges, or feel like you're, you know, doing something valuable. So, I mean, if we can, you know, get all those things together and get the economy mobile again, I mean, it just felt so stagnant. And, I mean, it was most of my adult years that we did through this. I mean, I hated it because, you know, it was really the best years it should have been of my career. And they just were kind of sitting there, not doing anything. So it is what it is. But I think, you know, if we can get, you know, real tax reform that brings money back in and people can expand, if we can get regulations reduced and make that less of a headache and less of just an energy and time sucker than, you know, it is right now, that will help. But I think to really get back to, like, you know, making America great again in terms of economics, I think it's going to take a generation, because that's, I think it involves education. And I think, you know, it's got to start young. So but I think we're on our way.
No, I agree. And look, I think I said this all along. I think the White House needs a businessman. I think that you got to love Trump's energy. I mean, the guy is like an 18-year-old. He's out there, you know, 20 hours a day working, never away. And he always looks pretty good, too, when he comes up there for a guy who's 7 years old.
I mean, he never looks exhausted and, I mean, and harried. I mean, I would be... I think about, like, how hard these guys are working and how many monumental tasks that they have. Overhauling Obamacare. I mean, and not just, you know, fixing health care, but doing it so people don't lose it. You have to deal with all the headaches and angry public and stuff like that. So, you know, they've got to, you know, navigate their way around that. Tax reform, enormous. And making all these huge changes and making sure they work. I mean, you know, if they don't do these right, that'll be a disaster. So that's a huge amount of stress. It's a huge amount of work. And I admire him. I hope they get it done right.
I'm with you. So have you heard anything about this Google opening the YouTube channel and, you know, for content? And do you think that'll have any effect on Netflix? Have you followed that story at all?
Well, I did do the story this week, and basically they're going to do, like, the live streaming cable. They're going to have ESPN and some other networks as well. You know, Netflix has gotten streaming right, but not, movies and shows, and they do a great job of it. But nothing has replaced live television. And, I mean, Facebook has a live element. I don't think that's quite shaping up for what they thought it would be. You know, I have a friend who, you know, left a job in California and is Facebook living it all the way to the East Coast. And, you know, it's like, okay. I mean, it's just like any random person could be out there just Facebook living it. I just don't think it's all that interesting in most cases. So I still think, you know, I think TV is doing live programming better than anybody else, at least for the time being.
I agree with that. And lastly, but not least, how's the financial podcasting going, and what's on the agenda?
Well, okay. We don't have anything on the agenda right now for the podcast. We're working on it. It's been a little slow month of February for various reasons, but we're going to get back up and running here. So I'm ready for you to come back. You want to come back?
I love. Are you kidding? You know I'm a ham. I'll come back any. No, I'd love to come back.
Okay.
I think it's very important, actually. And I'm with you. You know, you and I are in the same wavelength there. So I'm definitely coming back anytime you want. You let me know. I'll be there. But Jane King, Lila Max Media. The star, the Ka-Ching Report. You got to get the Ka-Ching Report, guys. I mean, you download it from the Bubba Show, but from the BubbaTraining.com. She has got this thing. It's really great and always fun to read. And of course,
it's a good one to read too.
Jane, it's always great to have you on. I appreciate you. Thank you. Of course, that was our good friend Jane King from Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and you know, one of the great things about Jane is that she does have a unique understanding of all markets based on her education, based on her background, and based on where she's worked. But so she brings the Midwest gal from the farming community to Bloomberg in New York. And of course, now she's her own show, and it's syndicated in, I don't know, I think 1,000 markets or whatever it is. But it's always great to get her perspective, because you get somebody's perspective who lives in New York, but still in the back of her mind, you know, it has the country girl kind of view, and gets it from both sides. And I think that's extremely important when we look at things. And so it's always great to have Jane on. And of course, you can always go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And of course, we're looking forward to the NCAA March Madness, which will be coming up next week. So we'll probably have some extra there. And of course, BubbaTrading.com. You can get Bubba's Bottom Line, which is always a good listen, a good watch as well. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, and the Bubba Show expert on technical analysis. And Matt, what's up, my man? It looks like we hit just about every one of your levels, and I think we might be ready to turn the corner. What are you seeing here, man?
Yeah, so on Wednesday of last week, March 1st, we got almost across the board, we hit every target. So we're looking good. We missed by, you know, we came to the underside. So, you know, we had a 2405 target in S&P and we got to 2401. That's margin of error. That could be enough. But I wouldn't be surprised to see it go a little bit past either. So we go a little bit above and still be within the margin of error to the upside. But otherwise, I think it was sufficient but we probably could go a little bit higher. We have our full, you know, what we have our full short position on. We've been short Russell 2000 as our main position. And Russell really hasn't participated as much as the other indices. It got to a peak of 1415, which is about exactly where we were looking for it to peak. We were saying 1415 and it got there. So so I think we're ready for some downside.
So are you prepared to call a top of the market now?
Not yet. I do actually think we're going to get I'm a little bit more than 50-50 thinking that we're going to get a little bit higher highs. One of the reasons is not everything lines up perfectly. For example, and these don't have to happen at the same time, but I'm looking for treasuries to go a little bit lower still. And there's a target we have in TLT down at 116. It would basically make it a double bottom with a month or two ago, where that still hasn't completed. We'd like to see it get back down to 116. And then you'd see a rally in TLT, the treasuries, and that should occur close to market peaks. So, I'm just a little bit over 50-50 thinking we're going to get a little bit higher first.
Right, but you are yourself playing to the short side now. Is that correct?
We are, yeah. And there's no reason, as far as Russell goes, there's no reason not to. We've hit our target exactly. There's maybe one or two more points to the upside. So we're just going to stay short there. It's already 20 points off of its 14-15 high. So we're looking good there.
And are you short? Are you short anywhere else, or just there?
We're also short Euro Stoxx 50 and emerging markets, and those positions have been a lot more painful. Euro Stoxx 50 is a bit of a concern because it moved above a pivot line for us that it's hit it multiple times, seven times over the past 18 months, and in terms of validation, that's just incredible. I mean, that kind of pattern will always play out when it's been validated that many times. But we've we're on top of that pivot line now. So it may try to move even higher. Our next target up is 5.5% higher. I don't really see how that's going to happen unless it maybe it does it on its own. But I, you know, when we're looking for just a little bit more to the upside in the U.S. indices, I don't really see Euro stocks, you know, just taking off to the upside for another 5%. So for right now, we're short Euro stocks 50. We get much more strength out of it. We'll cover and we'll just wait for it, some weakness for it to pull back below that pivot line, which is presently about 3380, 3375.
Now, I look at it, you know, obviously I'm not as detailed in my analysis as you are from a technical standpoint. I mean, you know, obviously I understand and I use it, but I look at it like, to me, the markets are waiting for a reason now to actually really push lower. I mean, it looks like from my perspective, and I know you look at this up, but it looks from my perspective, the money flowing in, first of all, volume has been kind of dropping a little bit, and we're seeing, I think a lot of the money you're seeing flowing now is people being pushed in by their advisors, by their managers, and saying, hey, you know, it's time to get in. And of course, this time is different. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that I'm seeing and I'm hearing. And, you know, to me, those are all like red lights saying, hey, you better think about this before you do it. Because again, this just feels like, again, we can go higher. I mean, I'm not predicting today is going to be the top or tomorrow, but I'm just saying that the markets themselves just had the feel like they really would like to go lower. And I think that's really the direction that we need to go. But until then, obviously, we can't force it to do what we think. But that's kind of what I'm seeing. How about you?
Yeah, no, I'm seeing the same thing. I mean, sentiment is wildly bullish. Retail is getting back in. You hear all these stories. People are asking what stock should they buy. It's a little bit late to do that. What else? I mean, the volatility is almost at our bottom, and the commercial has been adding to their volatility positions. And you know, last week we dropped another 2 points down into the tens again on the VIX. So, you know, since the COT cutoff the last 3 days, I'm sure the commercial has been buying more VIX futures. So everything sets up pretty well for
Yeah, I mean, but again, to me, it's they're patiently waiting, and for whatever reason, we're just, you know, we're not getting it. And of course, obviously, the Wednesday rally was, I think, caught everybody off a lot guard a little bit. I mean, I really would have thought that after the speech, I mean, I look at it like everything's been kind of priced in, and obviously, it wasn't because we had that monster rally on Wednesday. But when you look at the bigger picture, I mean, things don't look as good as they do, or as good as they could. And of course, you know, being more of a contrarian, you know, on either side, you know, that's kind of what we see. But is there anything that you're seeing that is, you know, out of ordinary or special that it's giving you a little bit more confidence in this, or just your normal work?
Well, it's just my normal work. There's so many things that are warning signs, like you pointed out. Also, margin levels are back to records, new records as of last month. So, yeah, I mean, everything, you know, is priced for perfection. I don't, you know, it's kind of curious where the cash is coming from. I mean, sure, every month, you know, new cash can come in, but cash balances at mutual funds, at, you know, institutions are very low. So there's every factor looks right. The only thing is that, you know, we were waiting for these precise, you know, price targets to be hit, and now they have, or they've missed by, you know, a fraction of a percent. You know, NASDAQ, we were thinking 59.50. We got to 59.10 almost, or roughly there. So we have another 40 points in the NASDAQ, which is, you know, that's very small. That's almost just about 0.5%. We were looking at NASDAQ 100 having a bit more. That's almost a full 1%. We were looking for QQQ to go, you know, 1% higher. So that's kind of why I think we're going to get a little bit more drift or push to the upside in some of these indices. I don't think it's quite ready to go yet, but it's very close. And that's the main thing I'm looking at, is just the actual price patterns.
Right. And then, you know, now it was interesting, the VIX itself, although, you know, it got crushed. Crushed at this level, it's been crushed, but you know, it was interesting. You know, it was higher on the big rally day. We had a little bit of a higher VIX, and actually Thursday was a little bit higher of a VIX as well. And Friday tried to go higher before obviously falling and you know, going down into the low tens. I mean, is there anything, any message you take away from that? When, because usually, you know, when VIX is trying to rally, when the market's rallying, usually the market's going to start to break, just like the other side of the coin. Falling market, falling VIX, usually means the market's getting ready to rally. I mean, did that show any signs to you at all?
That's just, I haven't gone through the, you know, the historical studies, but that to me is a big warning sign when, obviously, when the VIX is going up and the market's going up, you know, it's the opposite correlation that we would expect. You know, and then as we're falling, the VIX is also falling. It's just a very strange anti-correlation, so reverse correlation. So I don't know. I don't really know what to make of it. I think historically, I've read a little bit about this just, you know, in passing, but it tends to occur at turning points, I think. So I take a sort of a bearish message from it.
No, I mean,
I might be biased, though. I mean, you know,
well, you're definitely biased, but I think that is correct. I mean, I think just statistically, you know, the VIX is a pretty key indicator because it's obviously people doing the other side. And, you know, there's I think the other thing that might be in the favor of the market selling off, I don't know if you followed the story of the big trader who stuck, and it's like a $1.7 billion blowout. And he's been stuck in the S&P, and he's been, you know, from options point, and he's been buying and buying, and, you know, every day. And all the traders know what's going on, and it's kind of, they've been sticking it to him. Have you followed that story, or did you see anything about that?
No, I've heard just sort of, you know, stories here and there, but I haven't followed it closely at all.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. It's a guy that forever has sold premium and sold big. And of course, you know, you sell naked premium long enough and you try to make it a big deal and you can end up in the toilet. So, you know, it's happening. It happens all the time. And that's one of the things that, you know, we look at. So as we look forward and, you know, when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about the dollar and you know, we've seen some interesting there, as well as the Federal Reserve is in, you know, basically announced on Friday that it's almost 100% probability that they're going to increase. And of course the Fed futures runs are indicating that now they're going to do it in March, but they're going to do it in July again. So to me, the markets did not budge off that. But when we come back from the break, we'll talk about that with Matt, because I'm sure that's something that he's watching. This is The Bubba Show. We're with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And of course, he is our expert, who has his own fine-tuned methods that have been pretty damn accurate, and we love getting his insight here. In the meantime, go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And lastly, bubbatrading.com. You can go download Bubba's Bottom Line, which is a 30-minute video that I do once a week, and you can hear me bitch and moan and talk about different things. But this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more from Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And so, Matt, we have, you know, the dollar and the Fed. And, you know, the Fed on Friday said, basically, we're raising 100%. And the market's barely moved. Now, again, I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing. I'm just saying it was interesting. It's the first time that they've had a really hawkish statement, and the markets continue to move in the direction they were going, which was basically flat, but it's, you know, tried to work higher. What did you see? What did you see from that or think from that?
Well, you know, I think they're underestimating what's going to happen when they start raising rates, if they start raising rates. But, you know, I'm not, as far as the dollar goes, I'm not seeing, I mean, you can see the reaction on Friday just, you know, kind of fell. So I don't think the dollar actually has a whole lot of, you know, more upside based upon, you know, the idea that they're going to raise. And if we do, you know, the charts are saying a little bit higher for the dollar, that we should get up to about 102, 103 again. But I don't see it going a whole lot higher than that. And that might be a case of, if we do get a sell-off in stocks, then, you know, the odds of those March and June, July rate hikes are probably going to drop, which will probably also be negative for the dollar.
Well, I do think they're going to raise, and I think that I personally believe that the dollar had priced this in a long time ago. And of course, you know, one of the things that I like to think about is market expectations. And I think they expected that there was going to be a hike, and I think they priced it in, which is why I think it's going to go much lower. And I think you're, I don't see your call to 103, not that I'm right, but I do see your call down to the mid 90s, and I agree with that. So we're both on the same page. I just think that the highs are in myself. But again, obviously, it's more of an art form, and you've been dead spot on all the way. In fact, calling the top of the bond market, which was a hell of a call. And now, when you look at the actual dollar versus like now crude and things like that, you know, crude has been amazingly strong, even though, you know, a slightly down week last week, but really pretty much, you know, kind of stuck in this major band. Now, I know you've had a declining trend coming down here. What are you thinking in crude now?
Well, so far that first declining line that we were looking at, it has been working. I mean, we hit it, we pushed slightly past it, and then we've kind of fallen back. So it's doing what you'd expect. I mean, in theory, I'd want to see. I mean, we should be seeing more downside coming, but you know what I'm seeing in, you know, daily RSI is every down move is exaggerated in RSI, and I don't that to me that's more of a bullish thing. So I'm thinking that we could just chop for a bit longer. We could even, you know, go a little bit higher, but I don't think we're going much higher. I think we might be stuck. I mean, we're short, so at some point we know we're gonna see downside, so we're just keep that position on. But you know, we might be stuck for longer than we anticipated, just going sideways in this mid 50s area, between say, you know, 50 and 55, maybe even, you know, get up to 56, 57. But I don't see much more than that.
I mean, I just see it. And you know, we've been in this range since I think November, right? When OPEC announced, we had that big spike up, and that's really been. Dead. It looks to me like it's trying to turn down within that, you know, if you look in the big consolidation range, you know, I guess 52 to 55 inside there, we looked like we're turned down. But of course, most likely we'll probably bounce off that 52 again. I don't know. I mean, it should break. I mean, I look at it as it should make a pretty big move coming up pretty soon. And I would think that would be the downside. Do you agree with that?
I do. Yeah, the next big move is going to be to the downside. I just don't know how much longer we're going to have to wait. When I look at dailies, you know, daily indicators look like they're, you know, they could bounce. When I look at the weeklies, they look like they want to sell off. So the bigger picture is definitely down. So yeah, we'll just wait it out. We'll stay short, and if we get any, you know, little bouts of strength, we'll short a little bit more.
I understand that. And so what are you seeing in like some of the agricultural markets? You know, we saw last week meats were pretty flat. Hogs kind of, you know, working their way a little bit lower here. But really kind of, you know, it's amazing that almost all markets are kind of in this malaise and not really that active. All right, what are you seeing in the markets? I know you wanted to buy cow. You were talking about right. Buying that last week. What are you seeing there now?
We did buy cow last week, and it's kind of done nothing. I do think we're going to get more strength out of it. I don't think hogs broke out of a resistant out of a bearish pattern, so, and it didn't complete to the upside after that, so we're looking for hogs to go up a bit, and so we're long cow. It's a small position because there's added risk. The commercials are pretty heavily short cattle, and they're say moderately short hogs, so we're fighting the commercials by being long. But I do think we're gonna get a little more upside. I think there'll probably be a little bit more upside as well in grains, you know, maybe just very short term, you know, another, because we talked about JJG the other week, and I said, you know, it didn't surprise me that we sold off, but at the same time, we didn't quite, I was looking for a descending target line to be hit. We didn't quite hit it. We missed it by a little bit. So we may have to go back up a little bit, hit it, and then sell off again. But I'm not seeing anything that's making me, you know, super bullish about the grains. I'm just kind of staying agnostic on the grains for right now, just staying neutral. We're still looking for, you know, a major bottom to be hit in soybeans and corn long term. We haven't gotten there yet, so we'll wait for that. But in the short term, we're willing to play livestock to the upside, but not with a big position size.
Right. Now, I can understand that. And now, I know you were bullish yen, and the yen, you know, looks like you're pretty much flat for the week with a big up move after the Fed on Friday. Are you still, like, bullish yen here, or what's your feel here?
Yeah, still bullish yen. you know, until markets finally peak, and that includes the Nikkei, until the Nikkei, you know, Nikkei is the furthest from our target. It's about 4%. We're looking for about 4% more upside in the Nikkei. And until it peaks, you know, you could see a little bit more weakness in the yen because they kind of, you know, that's how they move. You have a weak yen, you have a strong Nikkei, and vice versa. So until the Nikkei really sells off, we might have the yen just sort of, you know, drift lower. But we're willing to hold on to it. It hasn't, there's a much bigger pattern it hasn't completed to the upside. So we're willing to just hold on to the end.
Now, we haven't talked about the Aussie for a while, but that's something that I know you watch, and you were bullish for a while, and it had some nice up move. What are you seeing here now?
I think it didn't quite complete to the upside that, you know, I was looking for. So I think we could rally right back up to, you know, the 77.50, 78 area, probably 78 is what I'd be looking for. You know, the commercials got massively short at the recent highs in the Australian dollar. And, you know, it was Thursday, the same day we got a smackdown in the precious metals. They hit the Australian dollar pretty hard. So now it's, you know, relatively oversold. I could see the indicators bouncing back up and the price coming back up. And at that point, once we get to about 78, then I will, you know, definitely consider a short position on Aussie.
Well, no, you were you told us to buy it at 73, and it went to 70, almost 78. So it's pretty good, pretty interesting call. Still trading at almost 76, and you know, it's just interesting the way these things are going. And of course, gold and silver. What do you see there?
Gold and silver. Though they had commercials just smashed them last week. It was pretty interesting. Silver in particular just had a waterfall decline on Thursday. And that makes a lot of sense because the commercial short position had gotten up to near record position. It was 108,000 contracts short, and they'd gotten up to 109,000 contracts over the summer where it peaked. So it was almost the same size position. It made sense that we got that sell off. We'll have to see how much that COT structure improved. I'm now turning bearish. We turned bearish of the metals on Monday of last week. So we're short gold. There's a very good chance that we're going to bounce all the way. You know, considering what we think about the dollar, how it's going to weaken, there's a very good chance that gold pops right back up to the highs. But I don't see it going much past the 200-day moving average. That seems to be where it's being suppressed. And I also have a pivot resistance line there that's been respected twice now. So I think that'll be the 1270 area. It's not a level we're really going to make a lot of headway through. We could, but I just the way things are going and the way you know, what they did to silver was just so obvious,
right?
That they have an agenda here of not allowing the precious metals to go that much higher. So you have both the price targets, the lines that I have, they're all lining up.
I gotta cut you short. The words according to Matt Demeter. Matt, thanks for being on. I appreciate it.
It's always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Let this old world just spin around.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.